Hello there, fellow humans! Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Jaska Joost, and this is Interview with You. Today, not yet with you, today with Bára Lapchíková, a fascinating soul that takes care of other souls, and not just those of her three sons and husband. We will hear about their relationship and also about how her mother died when she was very young and what grew out of that experience. Not exactly a very sunny topic, but we will discover the light at the end of the tunnel. So, let's go! Hello and welcome to my podcast. Today I have a super precious guest. It's Bára Lapchíková, also known as Baru from the Moon Path. Welcome. Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the invitation, and I'm so excited to be here because it's my first podcast in English, so thank you.
Okay, I bet you're not as excited as I am, but okay, first I will say some things about you. So Baru is 34 years old. She has been in a relationship with her husband for 10 years, even though they are married just for two. And they have three boys. The oldest one is 6 years old, which if only this was true, I have the most admiration for Baru, because three boys, 6 years old is the oldest. Then there is one who is three and one who is 1 year and a half. So for me, this is very admirable. I only have two boys and this is enough, let's say. Baru also has a prosperous business that I will talk about in a second. And yeah, I made a note, and it's true, I'm a little starstruck because she has quite a following. So, but one of her many gifts is the ability to make people feel at ease, and this works for me. So that's great. So in short, she is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you might have noticed that all my guests are awesome, or that I say that they are. But it's not because I just pick awesome people. It's because I believe that everybody's awesome, or at least has the potential to be. So this is a little bit, or I think that this is actually the point of Baru's business. Like, this is like that she makes people believe that they are awesome, or find out that they are awesome. And she has various ways to discover the gifts and awesomeness that all of us have, and teaches you how to not be afraid to use them. to live them. So this is how I perceive you, Baru. And if you could tell us more about you and about what you do and everything, please.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice introduction. It made me laugh that you said I have gifts and I'm not afraid to use them. So yeah, please, yeah. Every one of you has gifts, so don't be afraid to use them. The thing is that sometimes we just don't see it, and it's my I don't want to say job, because it doesn't feel like a job to me. Actually, it's like my purpose, or yeah, purpose maybe at this time, to be the guide on the path to ourselves. And I think that this journey to ourselves, to our inner essence, or the core that we actually are, the core of our being, is the most important journey we can ever take. And yeah, and I'm glad that I can guide people who have calling to work with me on this journey. So That's basically the essence of my business, I would say.
Essence of the no, I also wanted to say that you yourself have the gift to guide people, because from my experience, I had, as you say, like a calling or whatever to find out more about, like, what is it that I can do? I still had this, I don't know, what could it be? I did some like traditional coaching, or you know, the ikigai, like, what are you good at and what people say about you, but still it was so specific. But then, yeah, I contacted Baru, and now I know. Now I know everything. So she has this magical ways, or not only magical, very, I think it's all based on research, or anyway on stuff that in any case work. So that's for me. So that's awesome. But tell us a little bit, because I always have to giggle when I hear about your whole career path. Okay, so tell us, how did you start?
Okay. Well, originally I studied journalism and political science. I went to high school where it was like the education was really, how to say it, like it was about everything, but you didn't know nothing. In Czech, we have this gymnasium, right? So college. So it was clear that I would go to the uni and I wanted to be a journalist, right? And I choose the Masaryk University in Brno, and you can study journalism only with something else. So I picked political science because I really liked history, especially the latest history, you know, the 20th century. Well, then I realized that journalism isn't for me. And I sticked with political science. So I did my master's in political science. But at the end of of my studies, I realized that I really don't like politics. So although I
Oh, a
studied it,
bummer.
yeah, it was like, oh. So, but you know, during my studies, I was looking for some serious job, right? Because I did like a lot of, I was a waitress, I played saxophone on street, I was a nude model for drawing classes, and so on, so on. And when I looked at the jobs, advertisement, I was thinking like, oh, it looks like there's a lot of money in IT, but I can't do anything with IT. I don't know, it was just a thought. And some time later, I found this job offer. It was for internship in one open source company. And because then I was a huge, I mean, I'm still a huge fan of open source software. So I was like, wow, I want to go there. And they hired me to my big surprise because after the interview, I was like, there's no way they could hire me because, my English back then was really, really poor, I would say, or, wasn't really good. And it was all in English, and I was then writing a technical documentation for software in English. So actually the reason I can do this podcast with you in English is my job there. So yeah, I was hired as an intern and then I worked there for well 10 years actually, but 5 years from those 10 years I was on a parental or maternity leave. Yeah, so
Yeah, with your 10 children, we surprised.
three, just three children.
Okay, so yeah,
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, rounding the numbers up a little.
So
Okay.
yeah, but after my first when my first son was born, I realized that I really want to do something different, and I was called to start women's circles here to facilitate women's circles here in our small village or city next to us. And I did that, and then I was thinking how I could bring more money to the table, so I didn't have to go back to the work I was doing, because actually before I went to the first maternity leave, I was pretty burned out, or at least really close to actual burning out. So it was like my escape strategy to get pregnant. I mean, we wanted kids, but it was like, okay, so we bought a house, we bought a property, let's do it now. And after 1 month, I was pregnant. So it was
Okay.
really, it worked. It worked
Yeah,
out.
good planning. It's interesting because I feel like there's many women who feel that way. Like after you become a mom, there is like such a say, switch or a twist in the head or somewhere else in the wherever you want to believe it is that I know that someday they just I can't go back there and do this that until then it made sense, but then out of the blue it this doesn't make sense. I don't want to do it. I want to do something that I mean this is how it was for me. I want to do something more that it makes sense to me. It doesn't have to be big or saving the world, but something that really that it makes sense and not the nonsense that I've been doing until then. So that's something that motherhood can bring. I think everybody should know before having kids, but or they should study only after having kids. That's another option. It's a bit complicated. Okay, and so let's get to your relationships. So your husband, it sounds that well, for me, as I said earlier, before we started recording, it seems to me that the two of you are like match made in heaven or soulmates, like, because as I hear you talk, he supports you a lot in all your endeavors. So how did you meet him, and how did he support you during your wild career changes? Tell us
Well,
ahead.
his career changes are also wild.
Okay, so that's good. That's good. Well, it's great if you have somebody who can relate to it, then I mean, that's the best, right?
Well, it's funny because I never thought we will end up together. Because I've known him for, I don't know. I know we are around the same age. He's 2 years older than me, and we went together to music school. Actually, I played the
Saxophone.
recorder. Well, the first I played the recorder,
Yeah.
and he as well. And then we were in the same, group of friends. But I never thought about him like, wow, he's so. I want him, or I want to date him, or something like that. And he had a serious relationship with one of our friends, and I had serious relationships. And then, I was single. He was single after 8 years or so. And I remember the moment we were at a party at our friend's house, and I was looking at him, and I was like, "Wow, he's really handsome." I was a little bit drunk, but still, I was like, it was like for the first time I saw him, like, in this new light or something like that. Before that, he was just a friend and a boyfriend of my friend, so it was like nothing like that. And
Okay.
yeah,
But were you maybe you were ovulating on the day?
I don't know, but it could be possible. But a good thing that it lasts.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we are the wisest when we are ovulating sometimes, but sometimes not also. But okay. So, and when you did your career changes, so you never had any arguments about that, or
No.
no?
It's, I mean, he was always supporting, and because I'm always support I always support him. He was when we started to be together, he was a truck driver, Then we moved here to our homestead. And he was like, "Oh, I was thinking I would like to work in forests, like to be a lumberjack." And I said, "Sure, go ahead. If you want this, go ahead." And it's the same, you know, it's the same from him. Like, okay, you want to do that? Go for it. I support you. And because, you know, I think when you want to do something that's from your heart, and the other person can see it, like can, you know, can sense it, there's no other answer than yes, go for it. At least, yeah.
I don't think it's always like this, but I think that, you know, as you said it, like I also support him. You don't even think about it, and then he reacts the same way. I mean, it's sometimes people complain, oh, he doesn't support me at all, and then you find out that you don't support him either. You know, that it kind of mirrors the behavior.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, it really sounds like I was right. You are the match made in heaven. So, ovulation or not,
Well,
it's great.
it's not that we don't argue sometime. The thing is that, well, we don't have like really serious arguments. And I think that the core of it is that we value each other, right? That we care about each other. I think that the most common problem with relationships is that we stop caring about the other one. We stop, you know, because I mean, it can be like I have a life, he have a life, and we just, you know, grow apart. And also with the kids, it can be really tricky. But we always knew that we are on the same team. You know, it's like, okay, we have kids now, but they grow old and they will move and they won't be around together. But we too, well, the plan is we will be together. I mean, it can happen anything, but you know, we will grow old together. And I'm actually looking for to that.
Ah, you have a long way to go. You
Yeah,
are young.
I know, I know. But you know, it's like I can, if I compare this relationship with my other relationships, I think that the main ingredient which is different is that we are transforming together. You know.
Like you are growing together to
Yeah,
the.
yeah, yeah,
So that's good because I mean I also see that many people actually after having kids, you know, they cannot carry on. They split because as soon as because yeah, with kids things start being different and harder. Yeah, you know it. I don't have to tell you that. And then and only then you really basically discover the other person
yeah.
is what I. And I was lucky too with my husband because I see that some people, I have friends and the guys they just leave when the baby is 6 months old. You know, I cannot, of course, fathom that because I'm a woman. I think for me it wouldn't be possible. But for you know, so I'm lucky. My husband is a decent man, so he wouldn't do that. But still, after the children were born, only then you discover that, like. You know how you get along, how you are able to share things. Because before, I mean, I don't mind doing everything myself because it's easy. But then you have a baby or three, and then you know, and if you find yourself alone, it's tricky. So it's really great that for you it works this way that you actually really you grow together, as you say, like from children to adults. It's lovely. So that's a very good so and. What do you think makes you a good couple, like beside the things that you mentioned, even though I think that you summed it up nicely, but is there anything else? Like if you know if you were a little Baru or a teenage Baru, what would you tell her? Like, look for this in a man so that you would be happy. What would it be?
Before I met him, or I mean, we knew each other, but before we started to date, I always had this problem that I got bored in those relationships, and I really thought that I'm a bad person or there's something wrong with me. And I told him this at the beginning, and he told me, "Well, maybe you just haven't met the right guy." And I was like, "Maybe." And the truth is that I think I will never get bored with him. You know, it's like we have this the same sense of humor. We laugh a lot, and this also actually is a good remedy for all those arguments. Well, if we would have more of them, but yeah, the humor, and I think, you know, every relationship can be either really, really great, or maybe, oh, okay, maybe not every relationship, but even if you have a like medical relationship, you can make it really, really great if you focus on the relationship and on the other person and what you laugh about the other person, you know, because we all know that where the energy goes, it grows, right? So if I will have all the time in my head like I don't like this about him and I don't like that. Okay, well, so what's the point? But you can really support the relationship by really taking care of it, and this is something that I would say both of us do. And well, and also I think that the sex should be great. I'll be completely honest with you. I really think that you can find a lot about the relationship. Well, I mean, I don't know. I just it works for us, and for us it's like our reconnection, you know, sometimes when it's hard to get intimate, you know, for some time because of the kids and everything. So I can feel or sense, we both can sense the tension between us, you know, like, but after this, like, it's like all the energies are reconnecting again, and we are the couple, or I mean, not that we weren't a couple before, but we are now, you know, together again. So I think that's the maybe the problem that not only the one problem, I mean the problem that happens after you have kids, you don't have time for this intimacy, and it doesn't have to be sex, you know, it could be just, you know, let's cuddle and watch some movies, but do this, do little dates, even though you have small kids. Just, you know, it could be a
It's
movie
true. It's
night together.
I think that for the intimacy or sex, it's because some people just think of it, oh, it's like this physical thing that you just get the steam of or whatever. But in fact, it really has impact also on the, you know, the spiritual and like mind level, because it is I mean, it's the literal connection, right? Like if we don't stay at the cuddle Netflix and chill, it is a literal connection. And yeah, it's at multiple levels. It is important for sure. I mean, of course, you can have couples who are happy without it, and it's all fine. Everything is fine as long as it's good for both. And I liked what you said about the I think it's very important that both still care about the relationship. It doesn't work if you do everything and the other person just lets you do it and that's it. So your relationship warms my heart. It's nice, and it's also lovely. It's really lovely for the boys, because of course, you know, they learn by example, and if they have this, we have at least another three nice relationships in the doing, like for them and their future partners. So that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. You are giving this to the world, so thank you. That's lovely. And I want to, I mean, I want to, and I don't want to, because we have something in common, which is well, it's a experience we have in common, which is not the best, and it's very transformational, as you mentioned it several times in your videos that I saw, because we both lost our mothers at like it's I was 16 when my mother died. How old was yours?
16.
16. So I mean, it's the I think there is no good time. I mean, I also see I have colleagues and friends who still have their moms, you know, and when they die, they are devastated still, you know, and so there's no good age to lose mom. But I think the younger you do, or even for us, I think as teenagers, it's tough. So I wanted to open the topic, so because I know that you are very open about it. I've also talked about it before, and I think it's a topic that is not much talked about, and that we both have a lot of things to say, even though it's a bit hard. But so, do you want to tell the story about your mom?
Sure. Well, I mean, as you said, I'm really open about it. And actually, when I was 16, my mom committed suicide because she was really, I would say, she was depressed. She was sad. Her relationship with my stepdad wasn't really great. And also, I think that there's something in our like lineage, or you know, that the suicide is the team for some of my for some of my ancestor, like female ancestor of my mother's side. And I mean, of course, I was devastated. I was sad. I was lost. But now I can see it as a gift, because it helped me so much on my own journey to myself. Because it was this, like, you know, I don't want to really use wake up call, because that's used for some illness or this kind of stuff. But it was this the starting point for me to go inside, because you know, and you probably know it. You can either be devastated and be in the victim mentality all your life, like, you know, my mom died, and that's the reason, blah blah blah. And I mean, it's I honor everyone's journey. So if you are in this stage, I was in there too, and sometimes I go there as well. So I don't want this to sound like, you know, harsh, but I think it benefits us. Like, we don't do it for anyone else. We do it for ourselves, to not be in this victim stage. So actually, shamans, they talked about the sacred, you know,
Wound.
wound. Yeah. So I think that for me, what happened was a sacred wound for me. And I know that I will always, you know, have some work around it. To do some work around it. I'm not saying it's like all healed, but it I actually think that I wouldn't be the same person if it wouldn't happened. And maybe yes, maybe not. We don't know, because
We will never know. That is what I was about to say.
yeah. But
But
what I
I
wanted
feel
to
you.
yeah what I want to say is that shit happens. And it's up to us what we take from it. And that's actually what I teach in my program, or you know, during the co during coaching, or you know, that every transformation, every hard situation, every situation that hurts, there's always a gem waiting for you. And I think it's better to find the gem than have it like you know, a huge stone in your backpack that you are carrying through the world, so or on your journey. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's because, you know, I've been through the same. My mom, she didn't kill herself, but I always sort of perceived it that way. I mean, she had multiple heart attacks, but she kept smoking and drinking, you know. And so for me, you know, when you talk about the stages of grief and or processing this kind of stuff, I remember, like, first, as you say, I was like in the black hole and lost, because I mean there was zero support from anybody. My father, just, you know how he announced it to me, he left the letter from the hospital on the table, and this is how I found out. This is
Wow.
like, this was the support in my family. Yeah, so I was really absolutely like, but it was, when you say wake up call, it was like the throw into the reality, because then since then everything completely changed. And so like then, when I started processing it, my first feeling, and for I would say quite long, was like to blame, like, sort of myself, which is, I think, a reaction which is not so strange. And also her, like, for a long time I blamed her. How could you have left me here? And so when I heard you talking about it, I thought, how must have she felt, you know, if the mom, like, did it really voluntarily like that. So did you also feel that way, like the kind of
Yeah,
blaming her?
anger.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but more what I felt was a guilt because I was the last person to see her, and you know, also like the rest of family, they didn't really blame me, but that they said something which I could, you know, which could be for me like, oh yeah, you know, the blame on you. But I knew how sad he was. I mean, I knew how depressed, sorry, she was. And I really, my first, actually, my first question was like, did she even love me? That she can left me here and my brother as well. But I realized that sometimes, you know, even though you have kids, you are so depressed and low that it's the only way out you can see. And this I felt from actually the beginning, or I mean, like from the start it happened. So yeah, I was actually thinking like when the anger would come. And I thought maybe I'm hiding it, or maybe I, you know, I should felt this, I should felt anger. But I mean, I felt it maybe for a moment, but it wasn't really like I was really angry with my mom because, you know, I think I knew that she wouldn't do it without like a proper reason, like without feeling really, really bad. Because I actually had a really great relationship with my mom. She was like a friend to me, and yeah, and I knew the whole story and the background, and I thought, well, I mean, I was actually thinking if this is like that you can kill yourself, is it that you are so strong or you are so weak, right? So I don't know.
Well, for me, I perceive it like rather as a weakness. But of course, it's easy to judge when you're not in this situation. Because for me, first I was really like guilty also, but I was really in the state of like blaming her. How could you? And then when I had kids, at first I thought even more, how could you? You know, like, once I had my own kids, I thought I could never. But then, you know, with time, I thought, how bad it must have been, how horribly she must have felt if really she could let go of this. Like that it must have been really awful for her here if she could sacrifice the well-being of her kids like this. So I feel much more now with all the work that I did, and with the help of the conscience workers or light workers like you, I concluded this, like I have a lot of empathy, like, and sympathy for how horrible it must have been for her if this was the solution, like the only solution that she saw. And I wanted to see, or I wanted to say for all the moms out there, like if you feel like if you even have one thought about doing it and you have kids, or even if you don't have kids, you don't have to be a mom, and you think about doing this, go and ask for help. I mean, there's nothing to lose. You can always do it later if it doesn't help. Just, I think it's worth it because there are so many things to see. I always feel so, most of the time when I miss my mom, my kids, they ask, oh, no, yeah, because my little one, he doesn't quite understand it. So, where is your mom? So, well, she already died. And then the bigger one says, oh, do you miss your mom? Do you miss you are such a poor thing. So, yeah, I miss my mom. And then is when I say, yeah, well, it's such a shame she cannot see them, she would really love them, of course. And but as you say, I feel, that if it didn't happen, I would be a completely different person. So, was I suppose it was bound to happen somehow. And what I wanted to say, one more thing is, like, after my mother died, and then I had boyfriends, and all their moms absolutely loved me. So, like, as soon as they found out that I'm like half orphaned, so like, then, do you have to do this for Jana and that for Jana? And they made me food, and all this. And I thought, okay, cool. And again, only after I had my own kids, I completely understood, like once I hear that somebody's mom died, it's a poor baby, like there's only one mom. Yeah.
I think what really helped me is I really believe in reincarnation. I really believe in past lives. It just makes sense to me. And that's maybe what helped me to get through this. Like, I know I will meet her again, and I know there's maybe some, agreements between us. And as I was working with my own past lives, I know that I did some pretty nasty things as well. And I like to think about this reality as a computer game. As a virtual reality that is so great, we forgot we are in it. And of course, I don't have any evidence, I don't have any proofs, I don't have any hard data. But I mean, I think, I really think this is a virtual reality we are in. And the life that's really is the true one is somewhere else. But that doesn't mean that this game isn't tough sometimes or doesn't hurt. It's not about, we are here. We are here at Earth in a body, and it's important as well. Like, I don't want to, sometimes people are like spiritually bypassing emotions and so on and so on. But yeah, I just wanted to share this because I think that's the not the on like the one thing that helped me, but one of many things that helped me to look at it. Like, if we see everything as an opportunity to grow, and everything, like, from the perspective of our souls, which I believe are immortal and gathering experiences, then it's not that hard, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. the little Baru, you know, the little one, the human
Yeah.
in us.
So also some people believe that like that when we are the souls, the immortal souls, and then we d decide, we choose to come here, we d do it with an intention, like that. Yeah, it was actually my decision. I'm not powerless. I decided to be born here like this, to go through all the suffering, that it was my choice, and I had my reasons for that. This also kind of helps, like that, you know, I'm not helpless. That's another thing. And well, yeah, I think that, yeah, the various beliefs are helpful in these things. And do you think your mom came back yet?
I'm
Since
not sure. I don't
no,
know.
it's because in our case, my mother died, and I think the year after my niece was born, my brother's first daughter, you know. So you know, and she's cool also. And
Well, you
she's awesome, of course. It could be my mom 2.0, you know, like learning from the experience, and so that's cool. That could be cool. Yeah. And what I wanted also to say, you know, for the children who may be, or children, teenagers, whoever is in the same situation as we were once, also seek help. Or, you know, if you feel alone, don't hesitate to talk about it. Because I also found, you know, when it happened, people didn't know how to talk to me about it. Like the friends, of course, you have teenagers. What do they know? You know, how to react in such situation. And it was hard, but I believe nowadays it's a completely different situation than it was, you know, all these many years ago in the what was it, 90s, in my case. So there is help for sure. And also, like, don't give up, because you see, you will gain from it in the end, and you will be awesome, just like Baru and I. So, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel always.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I mean, I agree. I have the same experience that people just didn't know how to talk to me, and I don't blame them. I mean,
Yeah.
I can understand. And the one person that really helped me was a friend of mine. His dad died a year before my mom, so he knew, like he really knew, and he couldn't. I mean, he didn't really have to. We didn't really talk about it. We didn't have to. We just knew, you know. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. And also, I wanted to say, I know it's a cliche that, you know, time will heal everything, but I know it's true. I know it's true. And right now, I'm like, because I'm 34, and my mom died when I was 16, so now I'm more years without my mom than I
Yeah.
was with her.
Yeah,
So
I'm
yeah.
even more than you then.
Yeah, and you know, to me it's sometimes it feels like a completely different life, and it's not really like just this, you know, like when I was working in IT, it's a different life, and you know, that's a transformation. And we are actually dying and you know, birthing, reverting all the time, like our old identities. And if I circle this back to what we were talking about, the relationships, I think it's really important for both the person in that relationship, people in that relationship, to transforming together, grow together. If someone is left behind and the other one outgrows
Yeah.
the other one, it's, well, it could be a problem.
Yeah, I know. It can be problematic. And you know, funnily enough, who helped me the most, sorry, at that time was even funny to say, because my father, as I discovered later, because I didn't know then. I was a child, right? He ha was having an affair like years, you know, before my mom died, and she knew all along anyway. But then, so the lady that he was, you know, cheating on my mom with was the one that really helped me a lot afterwards. Like, she was the only one who saw that. I mean, of course, I'm not okay, you know, and she because my father, he just like expected me to just now do the mom's job, and that was it, you know. He never thought about maybe she has feelings. Hello. No. So, but well, the lady, well, being mom herself also, she understood, and she was very kind. So, you know, it's also kind of paradoxical that you then the person you should hate actually is the one that offers you a lot of help.
I think
So
that's the
anyway,
beauty of life, you know.
there are some. So if you think that, when I look back now, I find it's really so paradoxical that it's funny if you think of it, you know, like how you wouldn't think of it. So okay, so do you have any positive, something positive to say at the end? Well, you said many positive things already, but something, you
Well,
know,
yeah,
to end
actually,
up on a nice
I
note.
do. I do. I actually think that this life is as a reward for me. I mean, now what I live, now the relationships I have, like with my husband and with my sons and where we live and what I can do for a living, actually, you know, what, like, it's wow. And I really see my life, that I have it as a reward for my, you know, some work I did before. And I think, well, I what I'm saying is, like, why I'm saying that is that, you know, you can feel like, well, I wouldn't said that when my mom died, right? That this life is for a reward. No way. But now I really feel it is. And I really like, looking at, you know, things that happen in my life as they are happening for me. Not that they are happening to me, but they are happening for me, even though I can't really see it now. Even though I'm really, you know, at that moment, I could be like, I could feel awful. I could feel, sad, depressed. I could feel anger, you know. Still, it's really helping me to see it. Like, okay, is how possibly this could be a gift? And you, I just one thought. And
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
you don't have to see it right away. I don't think you really. I don't think you are supposed to see it right away. I think that it's really important to honor the emotions and to honor your journey and to honor, like, you know, everything which come to surface when you are in such transformational moments of your life. But still, I believe somehow it's happening for us and not to us. So.
Yeah, I didn't say this, but Baru is like the gratitude guru. Also, no, because yeah, like, I mean, gratitude is a great exercise, and I always loved it. But like your sixth phase medit, the version that you recorded, the sixth phase meditation is like really life changing for me. Like, really to learn to be grateful for things that are in my life. It's like it's really a muscle that you can train, and then it changes everything so much. And the thing that you said, that you believe things are happening for you and not to you, this is also something that stuck to me, because I've heard you saying it before, and I really apply it now to even the smallest things, you know, like I don't know, like the everyday things, like I cannot find now the jacket that I wanted to wear. So I don't think, ah, stupid, 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 it doesn't work as I want the jacket. Then I think, nah, the universe wants me to wear another jacket. And then, you know, it rains, and the one that I was looking for isn't waterproof, you know. And if you believe all this, then everything is easier. Yeah, there is a reason why this is happening.
You
I
know,
don't know what yet, but It's better. It like makes you feel more at ease, even for this little, you know, you don't have to worry about stupid jacket. You should be careful. You have two, you know.
Nice. Yeah. I just wanted to say that the six phase meditation is originally from Vishen Lakhiani. And because I'm a mindfully certified life coach, I can teach it. So, you know, it's not mine meditation actually, but I did the
Yes,
Czech version. So,
your version, yeah.
yeah.
Because I've seen also other versions, you know. I then googled it on YouTube, and there are others, but yours is the best.
Thank you.
Say what you will, but for me, yours is the best. Okay, so that I think is maybe a good finish for our not so super happy but still positive episode. Thank you very much, Baru, for coming. It was very, very nice to have you, and a lot of inspiration as always. And keep on going with your successful relationship and with your successful business. Thank you very much for doing everything for us. And see you maybe next time. Thank you very
Yeah,
much.
thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Thank you for my premiere podcast in English.
Our universe wanted you to be here. So thanks so much. See you. Bye bye. So that went well. Thanks for joining us today in Interview with You. I hope you enjoyed the time as much as we did, and that it brought something positive to your day and to your life. Don't forget to get in touch if you want to be my next guest or if you have anything else you want to share with me. The contact details are in the description of the episode and slash or in the description of the podcast. But if you're lazy or you have rather audio memory, my email address is Jaska Jost without any space and spelled with J's. That is JASKAJOST at gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook under Jaska Jost. I look forward to hearing from you and to possibly having the next interview with you.